This morning we're going to be talking about baptismal regeneration. Amen. Thank you for that, brother. I know exactly where Brother Woody's coming from, though. I've been in some churches where we've had to visit just under special circumstances with a family member or something, and boy, you just realize how good we have it and how the Lord's blessed us. And I just think of my own testimony, to be honest with you, because I didn't know the difference between the Southern Baptist, Independent Baptist, Real Baptist when I got saved. But in God's providence, after I came to know the Lord in the military, I was just looking for a church. And I could care less. I didn't know anything about really denominations. I just was more familiar with the Baptist name. And the first church I went to was a strong Independent Baptist church. And that's where the Lord directed me. And to be honest with you, I was only there for a couple months before I was transferred up to Charleston. That's when I was in Miami, and I still didn't really have a, you know, because they never told me, you know, sat down and told me, now this is what an Independent Baptist, it was more, they just loved on me, discipled me, and got to North Charleston, and same thing. I just said, well, I need to find a church. So one day I'm at a red light, I see a big sign there, North Charleston, says Northside Baptist Church. I said, well, so Wednesday night, I said, I'll go check it out. Was a strong Independent Baptist church. Now, that's just the Lord, people. And that's where the Lord wanted me. And, of course, that's where Pastor Stevens was and Pastor Clements, and went there. And that's where I was biblically baptized. And just really neat how the Lord leads us and how thankful I am and that He does that. Well, it's good to see everybody. It's a blessing to be here, just seeing your faces and being here at our home church, there's nothing that can replace that. I love furlough and, you know, being out visiting, supporting churches, but nothing beats being in your home church. It's kind of like going home, being around the family table with just family. You know, it's fun going out and visiting people and whatnot, but nothing beats just in your own house with your family, and that's the way we feel here. And what I'm going to do is basically just bring you up to date, where we're headed right now, what the Lord's been doing. You've been up to date to some point because you've been praying for us with the medical situations. And so what I'll do is I'm just going to bring you up to date with some things, and then I'd like to open it up for some questions. There's something that's been on your heart or mind, about our ministry in Niger, plans, whatever the case may be. I just want to try to inform you the best I can. And so basically what happened, though, just about a week and a half ago, I found myself at Self Regional Hospital in Greenwood, South Carolina, laying on my back. What I thought would be maybe just an emergency room visit, give me antibiotics, send me home, ended up being a six-day stay at Self Regional. And I want to tell you, it's not nearly as cheap as the Red Roof Inn, I'm here to tell you. They did take me in, and because the infection had got pretty bad. It was it traveled, and it wasn't in my joints, thank the Lord, but it did travel into what they call a bursa pocket, and they ended up needing to open me up. So the orthopedic surgeon there went in the emergency room on Sunday, and the surgery was on Tuesday, and then they let me go on that following Friday. So it was a pretty... oh boy, just kind of a side swipe. You know, the Lord knew all about it, but to us, it was definitely not on the calendar. But the Lord just taught us so much through that, learned a lot about Him and things that He was wanting to teach me. And I'm so thankful for those things there, and gave me just a lot of time just to think about what He's doing in our lives. And so I just see, looking back on it, I'm already seeing what the Lord was doing. I had a couple of divine appointments with actually believers that I honestly believe I never would have had a conversation with two different believers, not even related, in some situations they were going through that I was able, they came to visit me and I was able to counsel them. And the little things like that, the Lord showed me that He was in full control. Now, where this infection came from is still a mystery. I was helping my grandmother, who's in the latter stages of dementia. I was out working in her flower garden, and I was on my hands and knees, and it was some nasty stuff out there, dirt and whatnot. And the only thing we can think of is maybe I nicked my knee or something, and the bacteria got in and just turned into staph. It was a staph infection. and the cellulitis as well. It was moving both ways up and down my leg, and getting really painful. And so we knew we needed to get to the help we needed. And thank the Lord we did when we did it, because those things can go south real quick. It can get nasty really quick. And the doctor was, I'm glad you came in when you did. And thank you for your prayers, because, you know, you just never can tell. You know, we could have been in Africa when that happened and not had the medical care, but the Lord knows all about that. And so thank you for praying. As we mentioned in our last prayer letter, you know, it's one of those things we've been dealing with ever since we got back to the States. We've been reoccurring boils. In fact, that's what that was on my knee, and it just turned into staph. And little Thomas Brent, this boy, talk about something that just breaks your heart. Little Thomas Brent had a boil right under his nose. It got infected. And it was really bad. We got there the next day and thankfully started getting antibiotics in him. And so we don't know what this where these bacteria are coming from or whatnot, or what's causing this, but we're trying to find out. Or you just keep praying with us about that. It's kind of, a mystery. You know, I suspect that there's some definite spiritual warfare going on. I think the devil's trying to discourage us as we prepare to go back to Niger. And just being this close to leaving, but, you know, hey, he can't do anything without the Lord's permission. And we know the Lord's in full control, and he's given us grace through this and strengthened us through this. And so right now we're all pretty healthy, and so just keep praying that it'll remain that way. We did have a departure date, as you may remember, for June the 26th. That was the day we were headed out. Well, after this came, being in the hospital for a week and whatnot, and still, you know, recovering from that, we were really battling whether to, you know, postpone our departure a while. Well, after talking with Brother Matt and Pastor Davidson, he's already been able to give counsel and be a help already, and appreciate that so much. In our mission, we felt that it'd be best and safest to just push that back 3 weeks. So our new departure date is July the 17th, and we're thankful for that. The Lord blessed in that. I called Delta and just told them my situation. They didn't even really ask hardly any questions. They just said, okay. It kind of shocked me. They said, all right, well, we got that changed, and is there anything else we can do for you? I said, well, you know, can you kind of tell me how much that's going to cost? Because we need to be prepared for that. And she said, oh, there's no cost, sir. And she said, in fact, this date that you're wanting is kind of funny. We're going to give you there's actually a $1.80 credit we're going to give you. And I'm like, you guys are just too generous, you know. I didn't say that. I didn't want to be sarcastic, you know. But I was like, oh, thank you very much. I said, this is a huge blessing. And she's like, well, sir, because we do travel with Delta, and we are on a Miles Club and whatnot. And she said, we just want to do what we can to help customers of ours that continue to use our service. And so thank the Lord for that. Didn't cost us a dime, and we even got $1.80 to get a Coke in the airport or something. I don't know. We'll use it for something. but anyway, thank you for praying with us about that. To bring you a little up to date what's going on in Niger, continue praying about that. We are getting good reports there in the area we were working in Agadez of people coming to Christ, and even of the believers. The young man Paul that we often refer to, he's growing. Just about, I'd say, a few weeks ago, we got a email from him, and it was such an encouragement. You talking about just a boost to our morale and just our spirit. It basically said something like this. He's like, this is, I'm sending you a message on faith that I've done, and I've been working on it for the past month. He'd been working on this message that he wanted to preach at the Touareg Church there, and he'd been working on it for a month. He used a Bible program that I'd given him. A church in France bought him a computer back a while back, and he'd been using that to study. He'd used his cross references and asked me what I thought about it. And, of course, he had an outline. He had several points about what faith is in the Bible. It just simply amazing, folks. And listen, that's fruit of your prayers. It really is. Asking God to help that young man to continue having a burden for his people and a heart for the Lord, and that's that fruit. And so I just encourage you, continue praying for him, and ask the Lord to protect him. I still don't have any news on his wife, any different news, that is, as far as her conversion. We really hope to get there and really put some focus on her, just explaining the gospel to her. But you can pray for her name. Her name is Mariama, and just pray for her salvation. To bring you up to date on the security, well, Niger's looking pretty good, but all around us is not. It's Libya is chaotic. They've now, the State Department has done a mandatory evacuation of all Americans. That's our bordering country to the north. Nigeria to the south, northern Nigeria, which borders our country. Of course, not good things are happening there with the Boko Haram. You've heard on the news the kidnapping of the girls there, the school girls, and a whole lot of other things going on there. And then we still have some things going over in northern Mali to the west of us. So there's some things going on around us, so we just really need your prayers and continual leadership of the Lord. Right now, we still believe that the Lord has us going back for a reason. And we feel like we just got to respond to the light we have, you know. And you folks know how that goes. Sometimes the Lord only gives you a little bit of light, and you got to respond to the light you have. And so that's what we're doing. And we're going to go back to the capital, probably be there for a month, and, you know, get our vehicle up and going, get the visas taken care of, and then just try to reevaluate. I'm going to try to talk to the more intelligence, get some more intelligence, and as far as the situation in Agadez, and then make our decision about going back up there to live, because that's our desire. That's where our heart really is. And God can change that. Of course he can. With us going back to the capital, he can change our directions really, really quickly. So we just are praying that he'd give us his peace and his direction, that we'll know when to go and how to go about doing all that. So that's something else. That's another prayer point, that we'll just have continual direction and clarity from the Lord as far as what to do. Because I just really believe a door is open right now. As Paul said, it's just it is a wide open door for us to minister to these Muslim people. And that door may be shut here in the near future. And so with this open window, we just feel like, hey, let's capitalize. Let's do what we can while we can. And discipling young men like Paul and others. But that's kind of brings you up to date. There's probably something I missed, but that's why I'm going to open it up for questions. Maybe somebody has a question, and it'll probably answer it for someone else too. Does anyone want to start us off, Brother Woody? Yes, sir. Plan B would be the capital. Yes, sir. Again, we don't have many details. Basically, we would just take it one day at a time. But the capital has the one thing that we kind of are hesitant about the capital is that it has such a large missionary community, which is not necessarily a bad problem. It's a good thing that missionaries are there preaching the gospel. And there's a lot of work going on there. And so, but if the Lord wants us there, I'm sure he'll open the door. And he'll give us the direction we need, because we'll possibly start a church there in that area. Or perhaps, you know, maybe plug into an existing church, because EBM, which is closed now, but years ago, they were the first missionaries in Niger back in the 30s and 40s. And there's churches planted there from their fruit that are still strong African churches. So we could possibly plug in at one of those churches, help out, you know, try to train men, that sort of thing. So there's some opportunities there that we could look for, but that's plan B. Plan C is, we don't know. Just kind of let the Lord lead as we go, you know. I mean, we could look at other African countries that speak French, whatever the Lord wanted for us. And we just want to be open to the Lord's will in that. But that's a good question. Yes, sir. Sure. Well, yes and no. In theory, they have a armed force, supposedly. Okay. Sometimes they bring the appearance of, you know, kind of like, you know, Barney Fife. You know, they might have a gun, but they don't look very intimidating. And that's just because of the nature of the country. It's a third world country. Niger is the poorest country in the world. So they don't have much infrastructure. They don't have much stability in their country. So yes, they do have an army that they do patrols, and even up in Agadez, there's police there, and of course there is a part of the army in Agadez. And so, to answer your question, is there someone we could call if there was trouble? Yes, there is. We could call the police station, and we do have, you know, basically, and where we were living, we were only a half a mile from the police station. Whether how much they could help us, now that's, I guess that's really kind of up to the what kind of view you have of them. I don't know. We're not allowed to carry weapons, and so the only thing I have is like a big survival knife, so y'all pray for me, okay? But no, with all seriousness, there is some military presence there, but not very much. And the police presence, it's just not very strong. One thing, though, that could be a help, I guess could be a blessing, but at the same time, maybe not so much, but the U.S. military has now moved to Niger. They have a drone base in the capital of Niamey, and where they're just surveillance drones. But now they just recently set up a small base in Agadez. Now it's way out of town, and no one really goes out there. They got tents set up, and no one really knows what they're doing. I think it's probably tied to the drones, them just kind of setting up base there too. But see, the intelligence community and a lot of the U.S. Armed Forces, they're kind of rotating from Afghanistan to North Africa, because that's where a lot of these terrorists are moving towards. And that's why I'm thinking, you know, the door may not be open for us much longer. I don't know. But the U.S. military is there, so that could be a help to us, perhaps as far as maybe safety. But we'll kind of see how that goes. All U.S. citizens. All U.S. citizens. Mandatory evacuation. Yeah, that's how bad Libya is. It is chaotic. It's a terrorist stronghold. All the south of Libya, ever since Gaddafi fell, he was an awful dictator. But one thing he did, he had control over those terrorists. And he had control over the people. And he didn't tolerate a lot of that. But, of course, he was just a wicked man, of course. But since he's fallen, it's chaos. So those are good questions. Anybody else have a question about our plans or the ministry in Niger? Yes, sorry. Yes, to some degree. David, he's still part-time. He's only, you know, going. In fact, he tells me next time he may just go for a month. He's kind of working his phasing out. And so we're trying to be somewhat of a support role there. We're working with these MP3 radios that we're working on, actually ordering some from the States. We're trying, but it's kind of an experimental thing. So we're working together on that. And also, when we go there, we look after some of his things and are a help to him in that way. So more of a support role, just helping out where we can. And we even work with some of the same believers. So that part is still there with Brother Edens. No, he wasn't even there when it happened. He has returned for a short term, but when that happened, he wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So, yes, sir. Right. For the past couple years, we've just been buying the MP3 radios in the market. They're user-friendly. The Africans know how to use them. But the bad part of it is the quality. They're Chinese-made and just, actually, they're Nigerian-made. It's just so bad that the stuff in Nigeria is, they're so desperate. They put made in China, and that's fake. So that tells you how bad it is, all right? That's how bad Nigeria things are. But anyway, that's what they use, and so they'll last a little while. And we buy the SD cards there in the market, and to put the Bible on there, and it's just been very effective. But now we're looking at something through a ministry called Mega Voice, and they're solar-powered radios, about the size of an iPod, really. And you can get ones with a certain amount of memory on them, but you can put the Bible on them, you can put preaching, singing, and they're really user-friendly. You can navigate them very easily. You can go to different books with one click, different chapters with one click, and with the radios that you get in the market, you could not navigate them easily. Basically, you had forward and backwards, and it was one click. So in other words, just to give you an idea how many chapters are in the New Testament, if you wanted to go to James, I mean, you're talking about clicking over 100 times just to get to a certain book or whatever the case may be. So that just wasn't very practical. They could do it. They could listen to the Gospels. They could listen to it all the way through. But with these devices we're looking at getting, it I think would be somewhat effective. So we're going to try them out. We're thinking of buying about 100. They go from it. They probably go around $30 to $40. So we're going to try to start off with a handful, maybe 10. And then if those kind of, we see those working well, we're going to go for 100 and on up to see how they respond to them. Right now, the word is good. When I went in December, I took several devices with me, and the guys like them. A couple little things. The sound wasn't as loud as the little radios in the market are. So we're looking at amplification, maybe getting little speakers for them. And but very, very effective. These people are just drawn to the audio because most of them are illiterate, and they are drawn to the audio version of the Word of God, and they're hearing it in their own language and just responding in great numbers. And that's another burden of ours. You know, we're hearing of all these reports. Brother Edens hears about them a lot more than we do because he's more familiar with the villages and that surrounding area, him being there for 40 years. But we're hearing of hundreds coming to Christ. So our burden is to get there with men like Paul and send them out to these villages to confirm, as Paul would use, and confirm these believers and to try to, as we're training Paul, for Paul and those guys to disciple these new believers. And so that's another burden of ours to get back to discipleship. And so you can really pray with us about that. But that's kind of where those radios are right now. And I will be giving you more information as we know. In other words, when we get ready to put in a big order, we'll put it out to our churches for them to be praying about that. And but right now, it's more of an experimental thing. But continue praying for the Word of God to, you know, have free course, because it's definitely making a difference. Good questions. Yes, sir. Personal belongings are in storage. Brother Eden's had an extra storage space in Agadez. Our vehicle is in Niamey at a friend's house. He's been looking after it for me. And so we'll get that going. And then wherever how the Lord leads, we'll either get back up to Agadez, get our storage out, and go into our housing. We're renovating a house there. That's kind of been in the process, slow process. We would move into that home and just continue like we were. Now, if we're in the capital, we'll probably end up renting a home and getting our stuff sent down. That we can rent a truck and have some Africans ship it down for us. And so that's kind of what we're looking at as far as housing. We want to get back to the house we started renovating because we've put some, we've invested in that and put money towards getting that house livable. And so that's another draw to Agadez. You know, we got a house that we fixed up. We're not paying any rent. And so we'll see how the Lord leads in all of that. But yes, sir. Uh, Not too much thievery. You don't want to be out at night, especially in the market. But as far as the Arabic, there's some Arabic spoken, especially with some of the Arabs coming down from the Middle East, coming down into North Africa. But mainly, you're speaking of the main languages in Niger would be an African language called Hausa, which is spoken in a good many countries like Nigeria, Burkina Faso. So you deal with Hausa, and also in the capital, you deal with an African language called Zarma. So and then French is the national language, like you for the schools, the government. All of that is predominantly done in French. Now, a lot of your people out in your villages aren't going to speak French. It's mainly your educated people that have had some schooling, even up to fourth, fifth grade, which is pretty high for Niger if you make it up that far. Like Paul, I believe he made it to the sixth grade, and a very intelligent young man, but he speaks French well and things like that. So that's kind of what we're dealing with as far as languages. Mm-hmm. Good questions. And this is good because this is what it's all about. I want you guys to be as informed as possible and so you can pray for us better and know what we're doing and where we're going. And so I again ask you to pray as we're preparing, getting immunizations, all those things done for the kids. Little Thomas Brent, he still got to get his yellow fever shot and all those things. We still got to get our visas, which normally is not a problem, the visas. But, you know, the devil, he can get involved with those things real quickly. And we need your prayer. So a lot of those things coming together before leaving out on the 17th. And I hope to be back. I don't know if it'll be a Wednesday night maybe or maybe even a Sunday. I hope to be back at least one more time since we've postponed our departure, especially to spend some time with Brother Davidson and his family and to get to know them and let them get to know us a little bit before we take off for another 2 or 3 years. So... Yes, sir. I have a good relationship with them. In fact, it's required that we check into the police station. Every time we go to Agadez, I come off the plane, pretty much have to make a beeline for the police station to let them know we're in town. And real nice people, and they're very, you know, very honest with us because they fear for us in the sense if something were to happen to us, it kind of falls back on them. And so they're very careful to tell us, listen, you don't need to be here or you don't need to be going out of town. You don't need to be out at night. They're very transparent. And but we have a good relationship with them. I got the guy's phone number, kind of like he would be, I guess you would compare him to maybe a sheriff here. But anyway, I have his number. And he knows we're in town. And then when we leave, we have to kind of check out with them to let them know we're leaving. So I would say a good relationship with the authorities there in town. Yeah. Yes, sir. It's not difficult at all to make friendships there. They're very hospitable people. They just really... for the most part, are just very loving people, to be honest with you. Our neighbors are very kind and helpful. And, you know, a lot of that, I wouldn't say all of it, but a lot of that is because some of them want to take advantage of us as Americans. You know, they see dollar signs as soon as they see Americans, and they think that they can get rich. But that's just a minority group. A lot of them just want to be friends, and we're so thankful for that. We weren't expecting that when we went. But then, you know, it can only go so far, the friendship can, of course, you know, with what we believe and what most of them believe. But the Lord has opened up a lot of doors through friendships like that. Yeah. Sure. You know, one of the first questions you'll get, it's kind of funny, you know, and I have to ask the Lord for a lot of wisdom when I get this question. But one of the first questions we get is, what do you think of Obama? So you know, I have to, I basically give a political answer. Well, we pray for him, you know. We pray for him. And, you know, but because they were thrilled when he got elected, not just because he's an African-American, but honestly, they all believe he's a Muslim. They believe that. And so... we a lot of us do too. But I tell you, it's kind of backfired on him because, you know, a lot of his liberal agenda now, how far he pushes homosexuality and abortion. When they started finding that about out, honestly, they said that he can't be a Muslim and believe those things because they are totally anti-abortion and anti-homosexuality. Although it's, you know, that's another discussion. But anyway, that's one of the things they wonder about. Oh, what do you think about Obama and things like that? And we're kind of curious how this thing's going to, with this whole prisoner exchange thing, probably going to get some questions about that when we get back we'll be dealing with some of that. In fact, you know, it really, and I had to give this over to the Lord, but I really was angry when that thing happened with the prisoner exchange, because not only does it put the more military men in danger, but it puts missionaries in danger. And because now they know, oh, we can, they will negotiate. And so, you know, with us going out there, there's more of a danger now. And I have to give that over to the Lord, because we know safety is of the Lord, but the fact of the matter is we can't ignore and put a blind eye to the fact that it is more of a possibility now. You start showing these guys that now America's going to negotiate, which that's never been a situation. So that's another thing we can pray about and just pray about together and just try to get the leadership of the Lord. But yes, sir. Well, these are great questions. The funds? Local churches. We definitely contribute as well, just out of the support that comes in. There's a fraction that goes to the radios, and then we just put the need out there. We'll put, you know, we're going to buy this a certain amount of radios, and we tell how much they are, and whatever comes in for that, we just put directly towards that. In fact, since we've been on furlough, I think it was about 2,500. About 2,500 has been received specifically for the radios. So that's a really big blessing that we'll be purchasing those as we get to the ground, get to Niger, and even purchase some before we leave. Very good, very good. It doesn't bother me a bit to take the whole Sunday school hour to inform you folks about that, because I just think that's how important it is that we're connected on this, and you can pray with us, and not only pray with us about it, but being burdened and having a vision, you know, of reaching these people, because they truly need the gospel here, because I just don't know how much longer the missionaries are going to be able to be there, and these people are going to have to take it themselves, and so it's we can really pray. Yes, sir. That's what I'm talking about. We're actually looking at ordering some from here in the States. Yeah, sorry. They're solar powered. They're a small device about the size of an iPod. Those are the ones we're looking at in the States. Yes, those are. The ones in the market are more of a little, like a radio size, maybe about the size of this Bible, you know, maybe a little thicker. But that's kind of what the radios look like there. Well, I'm not sure about that. Depending on how many, we can put them in our suitcases, take a couple extra suitcases, because, again, they're not that big. So that's, as far as getting them there, that logistically, that's how we could probably do them. Brother David came over, or there's other missionary groups that come over often with different denominations, and a lot of times the missionaries will contact them if they get word that another missionary is coming. We'll say, hey, can you bring this out? We'll pay for whatever extra cost it is. So there's different ways of doing that. You just kind of work the system and getting out, because shipping it like air freight or something, it can sometimes be very, very expensive. Yeah. Very good. Yes, sir. You know, I've never, my time being there, I've never met a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. Never seen one. They're just not in that area, especially Agadez. Now, there may be some in Niamey that I don't really know about, but up where we are, you know, there's not much. That's a good thing, you know. Maybe too hot for them. I don't know. They can't really, and they, you know, bicycles and sand just don't really, you know. But anyway. All right, well, got your Bibles with you. I'll take the next few minutes and share some things with you. We got about 5 minutes here, and you know, the Lord and pressed upon my heart, you know, is just looking at what you know, the church here at Maranatha, what we've gone through, you know, over the past year and a half has been a trial, has been a difficulty in many ways, but it's been a blessing in many ways too, as it's been a stretching time to our church. You know, I know the Lord had a reason for all of it. And, you know, even while we were sitting over in Niger praying with you folks, burdened with you folks, what the Lord was doing, and maybe not understanding all of it, but just trusting Him through it. And but now I want to say just publicly, and I know you guys echo this, but praise God that we have a pastor. Amen. Brother Davidson, I tell you, he's just, I really believe he's the man of the hour, and just God calling him and how God worked that together. Hey, I've already been talking with him, and just already, just from a missionary standpoint, and even as a member of Maranatha, I sense his love for this ministry, for this church, and just for even for what God's called us to. He's very wants to know about things and wants to be an encouragement. And you know, just thinking about this and praying about it, the Lord impressed upon my heart to just share some things that I think we can do to prepare for Brother Davidson coming in. And basically, I just want to share these with you briefly, basically in the context of welcoming our new pastor. Man, it's something that God has blessed us with, and looking forward to seeing how Lord's going to bless in the future days. And you know, I thank God for Brother Stevens. He was my pastor in North Charleston, and but Brother Stevens never came to Maranatha to be the pastor. He came here to be an interim pastor to try to find us a permanent pastor. And I'm thankful for the ministry they've had to all of us, and thank God for what they've done. But you know, he would give me a hard time for this illustration I'm going to give. But it's almost kind of like, you know, the difference between renting a car and owning a car. You know, the idea is renting, they're nice to have at the time. They help you to get where you need to go. But there's just not, it's not the same as owning a car. It's yours. You don't have to be turning it back in. And Brother Stevens, I hear, now, oh, I heard you kind of relating me to a used car or a rental car, you know. But with all honesty, I'm thankful now we have a pastor. We can call ours. He's not an in-between. He's not a temporary. He's coming to be our under-shepherd. And I thank God for that, and just looking forward to what he's going to do, and how God's going to use him. Just let me share these with you briefly. Here's some ways that I think we as a church can show how much we appreciate him and answering the call of God to come and be our pastor. And of course, I can't exhaust all the ways of doing that. These are just some things the Lord impressed upon my heart. I'm not an expert in these things. These are just some things I was thinking over. And I want to share with you that, and these are things that I believe we will all agree on. I believe these are ways that we all are familiar with. But this is just just a healthy reminder of, as a new pastor coming in to a church and to our church. And number one, I think one principle that we can show our appreciation and love him is just simply this: following him confidently. Now, that may sound dangerous, following him confidently, because you say, what do you mean following him? We're not supposed to follow men. We're supposed to follow the Savior, which is very true. But as Paul said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. And that's what kind of following we can do. As Pastor Davidson comes to our church and is led of God and is a follower of Jesus Christ, we can confidently follow him. And the vision that God gives him and the burdens that God gives him, we can confidently follow him as he follows Jesus Christ. Now, he starts getting away from God, and that goes for any pastor. They start going contrary to the Bible. Hey, that's when the following stops. Let me show you something over in Joshua. You can turn there with me. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Brother Hankin, can I go 10 till? All right, thank you. We'll go through these quickly, and we'll say this. Following Joshua chapter 1, go with me to verse 16. Verse 16. The Bible says here, as the reins are getting turned over to Joshua, the command is being the torch is being passed to Joshua. He's given the command to the children of Israel that are passing over and to the promised land. And he says, after he is speaking with them and encouraging these people, that the response is in verse 16, "And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go." Verse 17, very important. "According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses." And there's an example there of following a man as he follows Jesus Christ. He is not our perfect example, of course. Only the Lord Jesus is our perfect example. But as God has called him to be the under-shepherd, we can follow him confidently. You know, we may not see eye to eye on some decisions that are made in the future, but that's all right because, hey, we may not say to ourselves, we may be like, well, that's not the way I would have done it. But you know what? That's okay because God hadn't called us to be the pastor. And he's called him to be the pastor, and he's called us to be in a support role as he follows the Lord Jesus. And he's called us to be faithful members and to plug in and to follow him confidently. And we see the example of Paul, as I've mentioned already. Paul, he was not a perfect man, but he said, listen, church, to the Corinthians, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. And I believe we can do that. But number two, I believe not only could we follow him confidently, our new pastor, but I believe to be an encouragement to him, we can embrace him lovingly, which I believe has already been done. From what the testimony I hear, boy, he's just encouraged how the church has loved on him and his family, and just exciting. But I think that's a principle there. And if you look over in 1 Corinthians with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, you turn there with me quickly. 1 Corinthians 16, we see an example here of Timothy being accepted and I believe, embraced as Paul was exhorting these believers here to receive him. In verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 10, it says, "Now if Timothy has come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren." In other words, Paul's saying, embrace this brother lovingly. And I believe we need to just do that as a church. Not that we already have it and not going to, but in to embrace our brother and our pastor lovingly, to show that we are so thankful and embrace his vision. When he comes in, God's going to give him a vision for this church and this ministry, and to embrace that and be an encouragement to him. I believe that. You know, it's going to be interesting, you know, because he has a different personality than Pastor Camp and perhaps the previous pastor or whatever. But I believe we need to embrace that as God's will and God's plan for our church, and how much we can show that. Now, if you already have it, can I encourage you something? Perhaps if you have it, maybe you can just wait till he comes. But be sure to go up, shake his hand, give him a hug, you men, and just say, hey, we just are thankful that you are here. We're thankful that God's called you here, and we praise God that you have answered the call of God. You talking about being an encouragement to him? Oh my. That would, I believe, encourage him as he comes here as a soldier of the cross. But not only embrace him lovingly, but thirdly, a given, we need to pray for him faithfully. As the new pastor comes in, you talk about Satan wanting to get involved and cause contention right at the beginning, to cause differences and to discourage him and his family. There's a lot of newness coming in, and you know with newness comes difficulties and adjustments, and the devil will try to get in that, but you know what? We can lift up our pastor in prayer. We can cover him in prayer. Just as we see there in the example, and look over in 2 Corinthians. Just over one book, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look there what Paul told the church in Corinth. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11,
Verse 10, I'll start with, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, and whom we trust that we will yet that he will yet deliver us. And verse 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us. And we can help together by praying for our pastor. And I don't have time to go there, but you can go to Ephesians chapter 6 where Paul said, hey, and pray for me that utterance may be given, that boldness may be given, and we pray for our pastor. Pray for him faithfully. I know you already have. I trust you are. But let's continue to lift our brother up and his dear wife and their children as they move to a new area. In fact, if you remember the message I preached here a couple months ago, a lot of those same principles, church, apply to a pastor and any worker of the Lord, honestly. And take those principles and apply them to Pastor Davidson and lift him up, because he will be attacked by Satan. And fourthly, in closing, we see not only, you know, follow him confidently, embrace him lovingly, pray for him faithfully, but lastly, work alongside him diligently. Diligently. You know, because we're not working for him. We're working for the Savior. But we are working alongside him because we are co-laborers together with God. And I think one of the biggest ways we can be a blessing to him, just like the children of Israel did with Nehemiah, as they were getting ready to rebuild the walls, they just came alongside and just with the tool and weapons, and they were just ready to go to rebuild that wall that had been somewhat torn down. And I believe that's the same way we can do with our new pastor. We can just come alongside him. And many of us here, perhaps if you're not involved in something, say, Pastor Davidson, I'm not sure what I can do, but anything you want me to do, plug me in. If it means scrubbing toilets, I want to do that. I just want to be involved, and I want to be a blessing to this church. Any way we can help support you and encourage you, we want to do that. You know, you can only imagine the people rebuilding the wall. I'm sure there were people that had to go to the well and get water. You live out in the desert, you'll learn that real quick. Just somebody going and getting water. But you know what? That was just as important as somebody holding a weapon digging. Hey, listen, it doesn't matter. There's nothing too small and insignificant for a child of God, a member of Maranatha Baptist Church, to do. If it's what God's given you the talent to do, do it. And be a blessing to that pastor, and we can come alongside him. But those are just some things that I wanted to share with you. I think that's all the things he wanted me to say, but if there's anything I missed, he'll be sure to tell you. I'm just kidding. Y'all know better than that. He had no idea I was going to bring this challenge and just a reminder for us to be thinking about as Pastor Davidson comes. Let's be a loving, and let's embrace him lovingly and just pray for him faithfully and follow him confidently and work alongside him diligently as he comes. And may Maranatha honor the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this morning. Thank you for all the great questions about the ministry to Niger. Lord, I thank you for the extended time that we were able to get in the Word, and I pray that you'd bless in the morning service Brother Hankey, give him real liberty and unction. Lord, help us to be attentive and responsive to the message. And Lord, we'll be very careful to give you glory. And God, we pray for our pastor, Pastor Davidson. We pray you'd give him strength as he makes the adjustments and gets ready to move and all the details there. We lift him up to you, empower him, protect him, strengthen him. And Lord, bring him here. And Lord, we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.